write this down. What do you do if your earthly father was a failure? And we're going to deal with this next week. Don't miss the session. What do you do what? I can't hear you. If your earthly father was a failure. And you know this morning if he was. I gave you a definition. You can sit here right now and figure him out. Yep. He was not a real father. He supplied the sperms, but he didn't father me. And this goes for men and women. Well, here's what Jesus said. It's a solution. He says, if your father on earth wasn't a good father, then he says in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore, as your father in heaven is perfect. You got a model. You can pick up here next week, and I'm going to show you the model. You're going to be so amazed of how wonderful it is to be a good father, and to be with a good father, and to find a good father. Brother, it ain't hard to be a good father. It's just that we haven't had the model. I'm going to show you the model, and for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at specifics in the model, how to be a good father. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day.
It's K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
My mother name was Essie. E-S-S-I-E. My father's name was Joseph. Grandmother on my mother's side, her name was Armour Lee. Grandfather on my mother's side was named Archie Lee Johnson. Grandmother on my father's side name was Luveda Martin. Grandfather on my father's side was named Jack Martin. I can call on those names, but you know those names can't do nothing for me. Oh yeah, they give me some fond memories, but when I call on the name of Jesus, I got to tell you, things just change. There's something about calling on that name. When your head is down, he'll lift it up. When your change is strange, he'll put somebody in your place to give you something. There is something about that name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is something about the name of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, I got a scripture, two scriptures in the New Testament that I want to read. Let me, in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, you got to find these words. And Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. And then when we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. For by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony. Is this your testimony? That he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to talk about have faith in God alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, neighbor, I want you to look them in the face and said that have, say, neighbor, you must have faith in God alone. My brothers and my sisters, we are to have faith, I believe I can stand up, in God alone. Leave it there. Many people put their faith in many things. Some put their faith in their job. Some put their faith in their bank account. Some put their faith in their spouse. Some put their faith in their good health. Can I say this morning? Some Republicans put their faith in number 45. Some Democrats put their faith in number 46. But I can tell each and every last one of us this morning that putting your faith in anything but God, it's like driving. How many of y'all have been in the, that's why I told those folks this morning on the telephone that was saying they're at minus five and at 2 degrees and all that with snow and all that. Keep all of that stuff. Putting your faith in anything, anybody but God is just like driving on ice, thinking that your car is going to stop when you hit the brakes. I can say that because I've had an opportunity to drive in a whole bunch of ice. And I know that when you're driving in ice and you engage the brakes, it looks like the vehicle picks up speed, amen, because it's not going to stop. I have learned through these 75 years that the Lord has given to me that faith in God alone gives the assurance that all things are going to work together for good. I'm old enough now to understand that. I have faith in him. I have had faith in him through all of these years. And guess what? 2024, I'm going to continue to have my faith in God and God alone. And as I look out in the audience, I'm looking, I take my glasses off, but I still can see a whole bunch of people out there in that audience that's a little bit older than me. Amen. And I can rest assured that if I was to call on each one of them, I'm not going to do that. Praise God. They would let you know, praise God, that they too have had faith in God and had faith in God alone. And they too will tell you, praise God, that although some of them in here, 93, 92, 90, 82, 81, 80 years old. Praise God. Did I hit you? Is there anybody here older than 93? Amen. Amen. Sister Buckner, 94. Amen. Praise God. 95. Praise the name of the Lord. And I guarantee you that Sister Buckner, if I were to ask her to stand up and testify, you know what Sister Buckner would tell me? Sister Buckner would tell me that throughout those whole 95 years that the Lord has allowed her to live on this earth, everything didn't go hunky-dory. She had some ups in her life. She had some downs in her life. She had some disappointments in her life. She probably had some sickness in her life. But guess what? Through it all, she continued to have faith in God, because she knew that by having faith in God and God alone, that he was going to bring her through whatever it is or whatever it was that she was going through. Amen. Can I have a witness? You see, I say that because I know that the devil is hard at work. How many of y'all know that the devil is hard at work? Man, if y'all can't contest that the devil is hard at work, Then there's got to be something wrong with you. Praise God. The devil is on his job 24/7. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Praise God. And he is on his job 24/7. Praise God. And so I know that there's no doubt in my mind that all throughout those years, praise God, there have been times of joy. There's been times of sorrow. There have been times of hope. There's been times of despair. But by faith in God alone, look at us. Amen. Look at us. Everybody here, look, I'm going to put it like this. If you're less than 75, you're young. Amen. Pray God. All those folks in here that's, well, let me do this. Everybody here that's 70 years old and old, raise your hand. Praise God. We're talking about having faith in God. Look at us. Praise God. Look, because we have faith and we have faith in God alone, you know what we're still doing? Man, we're still preaching. We're still teaching. We are still witnessing. We are still singing. Praise God. We are still winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And truly, 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 we have come this far. Amen. By faith. And I'm talking about by faith in God alone. Amen. So when we look at the two texts that we've read, Hebrew writer says that it takes faith to please God. That's in the text. I didn't write that. It takes faith to please him. So if I just do the corollary to that, if you want to displease him, don't have no faith. Praise God. So he says that we must have faith in God. And if you want to please him, praise God, you ought to have faith. Let me see everybody here that want to please God. Let me see if the hands of everybody in here who wants to please God. So that means that you have faith. You see, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Oh, that's why I tell people all the time, don't just sing songs. Listen to the lyrics of the song. Listen to the lyrics of the song. Because when I look at that song and I look at that song alone, that song says we've come this far by faith, leaning on what? The Lord, trusting in his holy word. And guess what? When we trust in his holy word, he'll never fail us. He's never failed us yet. Praise God. I know I got some witness in here. Sister Lewis, you're a witness that he'll never fail us. Even when he got that song, writer goes on to say, oh. Praise God. I can't turn around. I'm not going back like we talked about in Sunday school this morning when these young folks get converted, praise God, and they hang around those friends who get them to change their minds and make them go back into, can't turn around because I've come to find these words and I need to bring this out. Jesus answered and said unto them to have faith in God. Now, if you go back and you were to read what made Jesus say that, praise God. See, in the time that Mark was writing, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem where he would ultimately die, praise God, for my sins and for yours. And while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he sees a fig tree. And the Bible say he sees it afar off. Amen. And when he got closer to the tree, he noticed that the tree had no fruit. But only leaves. In other words, it looked pretty. It looked like it was full of everything that they needed. But the number one ingredient that it needed was fruit. Boy, I hope I'm not describing somebody in here today. Praise God. And so when he saw that the tree had no fruit but leaves, Jesus cursed the tree. Go back and read it. Curse the tree. Curse the tree. And you want to know something? He had to say it loud enough because his disciples heard him. The reason I know his disciples heard him, praise God, because when they finally arrived, praise God, to Jerusalem, and Jesus goes into the temple, and you all know what he did, praise God. He whipped them out of there. They were in there. I'm talking about religious folk. They were in there doing everything but what they were supposed to do. And he whipped them out of there. And he said that y'all have turned my house of prayer into what? A den of thieves. The scribes and the chief priests also heard what Jesus said, and they sought at that moment that they would find out, we got to get this guy. We got to get him. We're gonna get him. We got to get him. You know that when sometimes when somebody is saying something right, when somebody is telling you something right, instead of you getting in line with what they say, you get mad. Oh Lord, I'm talking to somebody this morning. Praise God. When you're going in the wrong direction, and somebody try to tell you the right direction to go, and you don't go, and instead of you taking heed to what they tell you, praise God, you get mad. That's what them scribes and that's what those Pharisees did. I can't speak for the Sadducees, you see, because there was some Sadducees around there. But you see, Sadducees didn't get too much upset, because if you understand the mindset of a Sadducee, the Sadducees, their gospel, their I don't know if I want to call it their salvation, it didn't go beyond the first five books of the Bible. Praise God. If it wasn't in the law, the Sadducees didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Praise God. So they weren't too concerned. But you see, the scribes and those high priests, they heard what Jesus said and they got mad with him and thought about what we can do to put him away. The reason why we want to put him away is because he's now garnering a following of folk. Whole bunch of folk are beginning to listen at what he said. So they say, we got to get rid of this fella. Praise God. Almost like sometime when I think about believers, man, there are some believers. I shared the story this morning. I won't reshare it. Praise God. Sometimes we got to know when to hold them. We got to know when to fold them. We got to know when to walk away, and we got to know when to cry. Yeah. That's sometimes, and then we may be right. But to not to hinder somebody, not to hurt somebody, we got to know how to hold them. Fold them, walk away, and cry. Amen. I won't share that story again because that's not what I'm going to preach about. But my point is, when Jesus and them finally, they went to Bethany, and then when they finally come back to Jerusalem, they notice the tree that Jesus had cursed. Man, it had withered up. And then Peter called to his attention. He said, Master, you know that tree you cursed yesterday? Man, that thing is gone. It has withered up. And then Jesus said to all of those disciples, he said, I want you to have faith. Have faith in God. You see, it would be remiss for me to tell you a story like that without telling you some of the significance of it, because many theologians say that that fig tree, praise God, represented Israel. And that this fig tree was full of leaves. In other words, it appeared fruitful, but it had no fruit. We are supposed to be spiritual Israel. We can't just be full of leaves and not producing no fruit. Don't you know that this world is looking for some fruit? I haven't even got to what I want to talk about. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't you know that this world wants to see some fruit? This world wants to be able to walk up to our tree. This world want to walk up to our tree and pick off some fruit of love. Pick off some fruit of forgiveness. Pick off some fruit of kindness. But they had a tree that had nothing but leaves. And Jesus said, in other words, what Jesus was saying to that tree, your leaves are pretty, but your leaves are not doing me any good. And it's best, I'm just saying this, y'all, it's best that you not be around. I'm not saying that about anybody in here. I'm just saying that we got to bear some fruit, because this world is looking for some fruit. And Jesus answered him, and he answered all of them. He said, y'all got to have faith in God. Put your trust in God. Oh, man, I got to ask this question. I can't preach this the way I want to preach it. Can I just see the hands of everybody in here today who has put their trust into something other than God? I'm not saying you're doing it now, but you done put your trust. You done trust some Negro. You done trust some friend. You done trust some relative. And they let you down. But I could stand up here today and say, God has never let us down. And that's right. Thank you, Deacon Robinson. He never will. So as we look at this text, I believe that I can share at least five reasons why it is important for believers. That's you and I. That's you and I. If I take my glasses off one more time, I'm finding that I'm serious, y'all. I got to the point where I can see great. They did the cataract surgery. I could see you now. Praise God. Let me see the hands of all of the believers in here today. Praise God. I'm putting mine up. I believe so. I look like everybody in here. Praise God. So it's important. That we have faith in God alone, because when we have faith in God alone, can I tell you something? Things happen for us. And I'm speaking, praise God, to the entire body of Christ. And just to make sure I don't leave nobody out, I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to ministers. I'm talking to missionaries. I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to deaconess. I'm talking to teachers. I'm talking to ushers. And I'm talking about believers as a whole. We must have faith in God alone. Oh, yeah, we got to. Praise God. You see, because the very first reason why we ought to have faith in God alone, because faith in God alone, we become winners. We win. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, having faith in God alone, you win. Oh yeah, you see, faith is a winning attitude. Faith is positive. Oh yeah, it's positive. Praise God. Doubt is negative. How many of y'all ever been around somebody that doubts? Oh my God. That can be one of the most negative experiences you can have. Praise God. But faith is positive. And I know if you like me, you hate to be around somebody that doubt every time.